Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And let's pray. Father, again, we come to you. We need the Word of God. Lord, we need it applied to our lives so that we can understand it. Lord, there's young people that need it. There's boys and girls that need it. There's moms and dads. There's senior citizens. Lord, we stand before you needy. I pray that you'd give us tonight exactly what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Wow. It seems as though trying to be a good Christian is always a battle. Did you ever notice that? It seems like the more you grow in the Lord, sometimes the harder it is to be a good Christian. Say, why is that? Well, you face opposition from the world. And you face opposition from the devil. And then, I don't know about you, but in my life, I face opposition from me. You see, I battle myself because I'm a sinner. And I battle my own sin. So I'm not only battling the world, and I'm not only battling the devil, but I'm battling myself with my own sin. Can I tell you something? Do you know that saved people get sick just like lost people get sick? Did you know that saved people get cancer like lost people get cancer? Did you know that saved people have heart disease like lost people have heart disease? You see, just because you get saved does not mean all of the effects of sin go away. Now listen to this statement. A saved person will never face judgment for their sin. You'll never face God for your sin, but you will feel in your body the effects of sin. That which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So because we sin in our flesh will reap the, I hate saying it, the fruit of sin, which is death. Now, by the way, I know I mentioned this morning, but that puts the health and wealth prosperity gospel people down the tubes. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They're a bunch of filthy liars. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The earth was cursed by sin. Man was cursed by sin. Woman was cursed by sin. And everybody look at me for just a second. I believe we ought to be as healthy as we can be. But I hate to tell you something. What most people call health food is still cursed by sin because it came from the earth. The average health food store is filled with things from weeds that are a result of sin. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not against you going out and drinking swamp water and eating tree bark. You want to? That's fine. I'm not doing it. Okay? If I got a headache, I'm not going to go chew on tree bark. I'm going to take aspirin. Okay? But don't you criticize me. Because guess what? Aspirin actually comes from trees. So don't get too mad at me. Okay, everybody doing all right? I know I'm going to make somebody mad if I succeed tonight. No. Now, wait a minute. Here's what happens. Once you sin, you set something in motion that you cannot get back. Let me show you what I mean. I love baseball. I happen to know February is a good month for those of you that love baseball. You say, why? Spring training starts. Oh, my soul. This time of the year, I get edgy. You know, they're winding down football season. I don't care about basketball season. Once college is over, I don't even care about basketball. But, man, I love football. I love baseball. I grew up in Canton, Ohio. That's where they play the Hall of Fame football game. That's played in a high school football stadium, just so you know. That's not a pro stadium. That is a high school stadium. Football's big where I'm from. Baseball is big where I'm from. Chris Spielman grew up in Maslin, which is where I went to school. My brother and Chris Spielman went to public school together. Now, they went to different schools, but they were the same age. My mom graduated from high school with Chris Spielman's mother. Okay, I'm all through all these things. So I love sports. I love baseball. I love pitching. I know a little bit about pitching. Now, I know this. Have you ever watched a pitcher in a baseball game throw a pitch, and as soon as he let go of that pitch, you could see on his face, he wished he hadn't thrown that pitch? The batter hadn't even swung the bat yet, and you watch his head go down because you know he hung a curveball, and that guy is going to launch that thing, and you watch that ball go. You can tell as soon as it came out of his hand, and he goes, it's gone. That guy's just waiting on that thing, crack, and he's going to walk the bases. Once that thing started in motion, he could not reach it and get it back. That's what happens with sin. Once it starts in motion, you can't get it back. Now, much of the opposition we face in the Christian life is not satanic. Just because you got a flat tire this week doesn't mean the devil hates you. Means Brother Mark didn't sell you a good tire. No. you know, very little of you ever face what I would call satanic opposition. And please, don't get mad at me for saying this, but you personally probably have never been attacked directly by Satan. Don't give yourself that much credit. You're not that important. I'm not sure it's happened to me very much. Directly from the devil himself. And I've been involved in Christian work for a long time at some pretty high levels. But to say I have actually done battle with the devil himself, well, Brother Hawkins and I have gone toe-to-toe. I don't know that I can tell you for sure I've ever faced the devil himself face-to-face. I'm just being honest with you. Most of the opposition I face is me and a result of my sin. You see, most of our opposition is a result of us, not because of how spiritual we are, it's how spiritual we are not. You look at most of the opposition you face in your life, if you were more spiritual, you could have handled it different. Sin is like the law of gravity. If I were preaching away and I happened to knock that over, guess what? Notice I did not do that with my coffee. Okay, new carpet. I'm not doing that. I could pick it up, and there's still some water left, isn't there? But I can't retract. I can't get back that which fell out. But you say it was an accident. Okay, it was an accident. And even though it was an accident, guess what? God didn't stop the water in mid-motion as you said, oh no, that was an accident. He didn't stop the water and say, oh, that's okay. And everything go back into the bottle and the bottle sit back up. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Bush. So is thinking that the results of your sin are going to stop. Once you start it in motion, you can't stop it. Now, notice Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. I want you to look at it with me for just a moment. There's a very interesting word there that we pass by. Ye, meaning you, did run well. What's the very next word? Who did hinder you? Not what, who. That is a pronoun that names a person, not a thing. This pulpit is not a who, but Brother Smith is a who. That coffee cup is not a who. This body is a who. Okay, and I'm not talking about Dr. Seuss and Whoville either, all right? I knew right where you were at, didn't I? Those are the kind of books Brother Ron reads, amen? Now, notice the Bible says, who doth hinder you, not what doth hinder you. Quit blaming everybody else for your sin. Quit blaming everything else for your sin and realize most of your opposition is the person you look at in the mirror. You see, most of us are our biggest problem in the Christian life. You know, it's not my wife's fault if I don't read my Bible. It's not my daughter's fault if I don't pray. By the way, it's not even my daughter's fault if I lose my temper. Now, there's times she may do things and I may lose my temper. But guess what? My losing my temper would not be her fault. It would be my fault. I'm not supposed to lose my temper. Now, there's times I'm supposed to throw a fit, but it's supposed to be planned, not a response. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say you never get angry. The Bible says be angry, but sin not. There's times as a leader, I must get a little tough. But if I react tough and I didn't choose to be that on purpose for a reason, then I've sinned. Everybody doing okay? So, the question is this, how do we oppose ourselves? I call tonight's sermon, who is hindering you? We know the answer, you. So, how do we oppose ourselves? Well, let's use our Bibles a little bit tonight. Turn to Romans chapter 6, just so you know that it's the Bible and not my philosophies. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Wow. So, the first thing that hinders us in the Christian life is our disobedience. God said, whoever you yield to determines whether you obey or disobey. Hey, teenager, listen to me. You don't have to decide whether or not to listen to your mom or dad. You listen to them. When you choose not to listen to mom and dad, you have chosen to disobey. Say, but I think my mom and dad are wrong. Okay, you still do what they say. God will hold them in judgment if they're wrong. But God holds you in judgment, even if they're wrong, and you disobey. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm trying to help you here. You see, we need to realize that we are, whatever we yield to is what we obey. Do you know that if you go outside the church tonight and go down Charlestown Road at about 120 miles an hour and get to the Sheets gas station down there, and you blow through that traffic light, and there's a guy down there with a little bubblegum machine on top of his car, and he finally catches up to you, you're going to pay a price because you disobeyed. There is a penalty for disobedience. By the way, mamas and daddies, as you rear your kids, make penalties for disobedience. I'm trying to help you. You see, now watch this. God tells us that we are to read his word. Let me ask you a question. How's your Christian life doing? How much of that book have you read today? Now, I'm not saying that you have to get up and read 40 chapters every day, but I think you ought to read the Word of God every day of your life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some of you don't know how to live because you've not read every word. Well, I read it once 20 years ago. Okay, how you doing now? I'm just being honest with you. You know, we need to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. The charismaniacs and the charis idiots that say, oh, well, if you feel the Spirit, then you'll do this. God's Holy Spirit never goes against that book right there. Ever. One time. God cannot lead you against His Word by the Holy Spirit, or God is a liar because He cannot keep His own Word. I hate to tell you, but people, when they spoke in tongues in the Bible, didn't get up and jibber-jabber, flop on the floor like a fish out of water, and speak this unintelligent language. If you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, where it talks about speaking in tongues, the Bible says at Pentecost that every man heard in his own language. In his own language. By the way, well, you have to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to prove you're saved. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says tongues are not assigned to them that believe, but to them that believe not. The only reason God gave tongues were so that people could get the gospel out and have people saved. That was the purpose of tongues. If I had Spanish folks here tonight, I'd need Brother Stoltz to stay back there and interpret, because he knows the Spanish tongue. He would listen to what I say, translate it, preach it to them in the tongue that they could understand so that they could get the truth and the gospel. That's biblical tongues. It's not some jibber-jabber, you know, Yamaha, Mitsubishi, all this other garbage and flop on the floor. Oh, I got it. No, you didn't. Not at all. Yeah, bad pizza or something. Got a case of the flu coming on, you know. Anyway, can I tell you something? We ought to obey preaching. We ought to obey teaching. Parents, teach your children to obey Sunday school teachers. They need to. You know, we need to teach people to obey all authority, not just our authority. Those of you that got little ones, let me help you. They're going to grow up. They're going to have a boss someday, and they're not going to have mommy to make them do what the boss says do. That means when they're little, they need to learn to obey all authority. When I was growing up, if my teacher sent word home that I misbehaved in class, those of you that know my mom and dad, you know this story will be true. My dad didn't say, did you do it? He beat us and then said, why did you do it? But, yeah, that's what I'm going for. Bend over. That's exactly what he would say. But dad, that's where I'm headed. Bend over. But I really, it doesn't matter. She said you did. You made it look like you did. You did it. And if you didn't do it this time, you did it some other time and I didn't catch you, so bend over. My dad didn't ask questions. Say why? He taught me to obey all authority. He did. He taught me to obey all authority. Can I tell you something? My bosses appreciated that as I started working in the work world. There's times I didn't agree with my bosses. Guess what? I obeyed them anyway. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, employees need to obey their boss. Our disobedience causes us to hinder ourselves. Hey, those of you that are adults, do you remember that teacher that you hated? How much did you learn from him? Yeah, which one? That's why you can't read and write, right, Walter? My sixth grade year, I was in public school. I probably shouldn't use the man's name, but I will. The man was my science teacher. He was a bit off. Matter of fact, he was a lot off. He told a story in class about something he did over the summer. And it was one of those stupid things that somebody did. I didn't think about it. And I just said, "You big dummy." I sat right on the front row. You know, B for Bush sits right up front. Not good. He said, "What did you say?" He said, "Did you call me a dummy?" "Oh, no, 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 just that situation." That didn't go over real well. I had to write 300 times, "I will not call Mr. Rexroad a dummy." I never called him a dummy again. That's where he heard me. Now, I was wrong. Now, what he did, it was wrong. It was dumb. Amen, brother Mark? He has a sign at his house. "Ain't I dumb?" Anyway, he may have been dumb in that situation, but that doesn't mean I had the right to call him a dummy as a sixth grader. I learned something. I taught sixth graders. I didn't let them call me a dummy either. Say why? That's why I knew what they were going to say before they said it, because I had already said it. I learned to obey all authority. Number two, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And I've got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 11, I'll hurry through the rest of these. So disobedience hinders us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Wow. You want to know another thing that'll slow down your Christian life? Well, I'm going to preach to me for a second. Do you know what slows down my Christian life? My pride. My filthy, stinking, rotten pride. Pride is you thinking you're right versus God or the Bible. Beware of anybody that tells you they know what God's will is for your life. "Well, I know God wants you to do this." Those are people that are liars. You know, watch Ernest Angley. "God is wanting you to reach in your wallet and send me money. I know it. Bob is supposed to send me money." And every Bob that's watching him thinking, "Oh, he's talking right to me." We're too stupid to know any different. It's God's will for you to do that. Just touch the back of the TV and feel the power. Yeah, you'll feel something all right. People that tell you they know what God's will for your life is are liars. I'm a preacher. People come to me, "Preacher, what do you think God's will is for my life?" I can't tell you. I can give you the guidelines of the Word of God. You have to decide what God's will is for your life. I cannot tell you. I can't. Say why? I'm not God. You see, pride, listen to this. Pride is you thinking you're right over authority. Your pride will hurt you at work. When you demand your right over your boss or your supervisor or your manager or somebody else, and you know you're right, guess what? Your pride's going to slow you down. I was an assistant pastor for 24 years. Can I tell you something? There were times I watched every person I worked for make a bad decision, but I followed it. I warned them that it was a bad decision. They overrode it. Guess what? God took care of that part of it. I was responsible for following. Everybody doing all right? Ask any man I worked for. They'll tell you. Brother Bush was opinionated. He'd tell me if he thought I was wrong. Now, for every one time they were wrong, I was wrong 99 others, just so you know. See, they were right more times than I was. But every once in a while, I got to be right. And I didn't go around telling everybody, "I did this and this person was wrong and I was right." And that's disloyalty and it's wrong. I was just supposed to follow. Boy, that's good stuff. People full of pride are hard to follow because it's either their way or no way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever have that boss that if you didn't do it exactly the way they did it, it was wrong? Those people are hard to follow. They're real hard to follow. I've got a half a dozen electricians in here. If I had them all work on the same project, I'll lose five of the six. Because everybody does it just a little different way. It doesn't mean it's wrong. All of them could even meet code. But guess what? Every one of them would do it a little different way. Does that mean all of them are wrong? No. There's many different ways to do the right thing sometimes. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. Pride causes others to be offended a lot because their opinion matters too. There's a little group of ladies that help me oversee and plan the ladies' meetings. You say, do you run that meeting? Kinda. You say, what do? I offer ideas, and everybody else starts offering ideas, and I finally figure out what's the best of all the ideas, and sometimes my idea was the worst out of all of them. I'm not so proud that I couldn't get their input. I'm not a woman. I don't know what they all want. Thank God I'm not a woman. But I happen to know some things about organizing, and I help them organize it, and I say, okay, why don't you ask this person to help you here, and let's get this group and help there, and let's put this person here, and let's put these people here, and hey, I got an idea. What if we do this, or what if we do? Oh, yeah, and a lot of times they'll take that idea and enhance it and make it even better than what I could see. And then they start pulling ideas in, and then they start brainstorming, and boy, we have a good time with it. You say, what is that? That's called leadership. I'm not one of these people. Now, every once in a while, if it's getting out of hand, I might have to say, we're going to do this. But I haven't had to do that yet. Say why? Because everybody just wants to do it. Every one of those ladies will say, well, preacher, it's if you want it. I want what you want. What do you want? They're afraid to tell me. I got to pull that out of them. It's not a dictatorship. Boy, that's good stuff. Pride keeps us from listening to God. All right. So our disobedience, our pride, number three. Everybody smile at me. Ready? One, two, three, smile. Our wrong associations hinder us. People who hate God and people who oppose God that we associate with us will hinder our walk with God. That's why God said, what communion hath light with darkness? Christ with Belial. You know, can two walk together except they be agreed? Running with Hollywood all the time will make your Christian life go backwards, not forward. Hanging around liberal people and worldly people will make you go backwards, not forward. Have you ever noticed conservative people that go into a liberal area always tend to be more liberal, not more conservative, when they're done? Look at all the conservatives we send to D.C. and look how liberal they come out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? People who cast doubt on the Bible are not people to hang around. I'm going to make a statement here, and if you choose to get mad, that's okay. But when people start saying things about that book right there, well, it's preserved, but the inspiration doesn't matter. They're casting doubt on that book, and I quit spending time with them. Period. Say why? Because they're going a direction. Maybe they are not wrong, but they are. But even if they weren't, they're casting doubt on the authority of that book right there. And I hate to tell you, just because it came from one church or another doesn't make it right. Did it come from the Word of God? The Bible says written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. That Word, according to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. That Bible is Jesus Christ. Quit messing with it. It's that simple. When somebody says some part of the Bible is not authoritative, that person's marked off my list. I don't listen to them. I don't read their materials. And I don't associate with them. Period. End of discussion. Everybody okay? All right. By the way, those are the ones that eventually start dropping their standards. They start dropping preaching against sin. They start dropping their music standards. They start dropping their dress standards. They start going a different direction every time. That's when they get so vague you can preach against sin, but you can't name it. Wrong friends and friends who are involved in wrong doctrine will pull you away from your walk with God, not get you closer. I hate to tell you that. I have friends that I don't spend any time with anymore. Can I tell you why? They followed bad doctrine. And I don't want their bad doctrine to influence me. If I saw them down the road, I'd howdy them, I'd shake their hand, I'd greet them, I'd welcome them, but I'm also going to spend a lot of time with them. I probably wouldn't even go eat a meal with them. Say why? Too much time. Too much time. All right. Number four, unfaithfulness will hinder you. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, unfaithfulness will hinder your Christian life. Luke chapter 19, verse number 17, the Bible says, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful, or well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." I feel like the Christian ought not miss church unless they're either sick or working. Now, you define what sick is. I know what I define sick. I can't make it. That's me. I was taking Brother Hiles to the airport one day. I had just gotten through pneumonia. I missed a day and a half of work and had double pneumonia. And I missed a day and a half of work, half a day to go see the doctor, one day to recover, and then I started going back to work. And a couple days after that, I was taking him to the airport. And he said, "Boy, you sound like you got a bad cold." I said, "Yes, sir, I got pneumonia." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "It's okay. I went to the doctor last week." He said, "You were at work just about every day, weren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I missed a day and a half." He said, "Son, I was out of work for 3 weeks." I said, "Well, I'm not quite as old as you are when you..." That was not the right thing to say. I knew I was going to pay for it, but at least it got him mad in a different direction. Amen? He was all over me. I mean, it was like snot on a booger. "Here we come. Pow!" He said, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm driving you to the airport, sir." I said, "I'm doing better." You know? He was mad at me. I said, "Wait a minute. You're mad at me." I said, "You're the one that preached all those years while I was in college. You crawl in, don't call in." He said, "That's just preaching. You're my assistant pastor. That's different." He'd get mad at me. It's okay. Now, wait a minute. Faithful people who go to church heal faster and grow faster than people who don't. I promise you. So, well, there's just times I don't feel like being at church. I'm going to make a statement. There's times I don't feel like being at church, and I'm the preacher. You say, "You feel that way? I'm a sinner too, just like you are." I hate to tell you this. You all come to church wondering what I'm going to say. I come to church knowing what I'm going to say, and I hate it even more than you do. You think it's bad. You ought to be on my side of it. I have to live with it. You know, faithful people are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, how they're supposed to be there, and just being there. I guess I was just brought up different. I just believe in being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. I was late one time to work in all the years I've been working. One time. And that was due to a total backup on Route 30. And if you've never been in Northwest Indiana, you don't know what a traffic backup is. Trust me. when 81 gets shut down and Queen Street's blocked off and Route 11's blocked off, you all know what I'm talking about? Okay, multiply that by the city of Chicago and that's what you have. I mean, it's unbearable. I remember getting stuck on the Dan on 8094 before you could get to the Dan Ryan Freeway. Amen, Brother Hawkins. I was supposed to pick Brother Hiles up at the airport at a certain time, and I had to have him back for church that night. They shut the freeway down. One of these tractor trailers that carries the coils of steel rolled over, and two of the coils sprung open. I was stopped for an hour. I had 40 minutes, and I hadn't gotten to the toll booth yet. And I was supposed to meet him in 40 minutes. I was driving in the median. I drove through the grass in the median. I was getting around. You say you didn't. Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I knew the police were so busy up there, they couldn't chase me because everything else was so bad. I was I had people mad at me. I wasn't going to be late. From the first toll booth to O'Hare Field on a normal day is about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minute drive. I pulled up 2 minutes after I was supposed to pick Brother Hiles. It took me 42 minutes. I will not tell you how fast I drove. I did break the speed limit exceedingly. I picked him up. We were driving back. I said, I need you to pray, Brother Hiles. He said, what for? I said, I was speeding like a demon out here to get here on time. He said, why? I said, 8094 is shut down. He said, how'd you get here? I said, don't ask that question. He said, no, how'd you get here? I said, I drove on the median. I drove off the road. I drove between cars. He said, you didn't. I said, I did. I said, I wasn't going to be late. I picked him up. We got back off the toll road, come around that bend, come up 8094, and the tractor trailer was still upside down, and there was steel all the way sprung out down 8094 on the westbound lanes. They were just starting to turn the tractor trailer over. I have no idea if people were killed in that wreck. I didn't care. I was getting to the airport. Say why? I was supposed to be there. And I had to get preacher back for church. Amen. I got him. I did not want to be the sermon illustration. I was waiting at the airport and I couldn't get back. No, not me. Somebody else could be that illustration. Not me. Be faithful. Faithful people tend to read their Bible every day. Faithful people tend to soul win on a regular basis. Faithful people tend to tithe. Faithful people tend to pray every day. People that go to church and are faithful tend to do the things they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do them, when they're supposed to do it. Number five, selfishness hinders us. Selfishness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. I'm just going to run through the next two very quickly, mention them, and I'm going to crash land the plane here. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Wow. He that is greedy of gain, selfish. This me first society. Selfish people that only do things that benefit themselves. I hate to tell you, most people live in a pretty small world. It's got one letter, I. How does this affect me? It's a lot bigger world out there than that, folks. Your selfishness will hurt your spiritual life. Okay? By the way, Proverbs chapter 19. I want you to see a verse. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs 19:17. If you mark in your Bible, mark this Bible. I want you to practice this once. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Look at me. My secretary and I got together last week. We looked at the books. everything that this church has given in missions and gave to what we would call a benevolence fund to help people in our church and things. Do you realize that not only did God give us that money to give, he gave that money back and he paid us again. You know, almost to the penny, we put away last year twice what we gave away. Say, what is that? When you lend to the poor, when you have pity on the poor, watch this. God says you're lending to him and he pays back 100% interest. Glory to God. Try it once. All right, next. Selfish people don't tell others about the Lord. Just be quite honest with you. I might get embarrassed. Do you know how many times I've been embarrassed? I'm so far past embarrassed, I don't care. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's not real easy for me to get real bold sometimes. But Brother Jimmy, you and I sat at the table yesterday with a couple. And I'm glad I had enough oomph about me to give them the gospel. And they got saved. Now, you say, yeah, but you're supposed to. Show me in the Bible where it says the pastor only is supposed to do it. Amen. It's for everybody. Selfish people want everybody else to do the work for the church to succeed. And then they get mad when somebody leaves the church because now their country club is not as successful as us and they have to do something. Yes, sir. As our church begins to grow, we're going to attract people that like success. And they're going to be successful people that don't do squat in this church, but they like the success of the church. And then they're going to get mad if something happens because, oh, their success is shaken, but they've done nothing to contribute to the success. Can I tell you something? Get involved in the success and have fun. Amen. Produce and have fun. Quit being so selfish. Boy, that's good. I'm having fun. Amen. Glory to God, preacher. Let me ask you a question. Who's hindering you in your Christian life? Well, it's my wife. You don't know how mad she makes me. No, it's you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's my husband or it's my kids. You don't understand how bad it is to be with. No, it's you. You are hindering you.
Yes.
Now, I realize they can contribute to it, but usually we're the problem. Yeah. I'm going to make this statement again. Don't give yourself so much spiritual credit. The devil's not attacking you directly. Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, who doth hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I can answer that. You. 99.99999% of the time, we're hindering ourselves. We're letting our sin affect us to the point, oh, my tire went flat and I'm so mad I'm not going back to church. Oh, that's real spiritual. I got 3 flat tires in one day once. I'm not kidding. I took a preacher to the airport one day, got a flat tire before I left, changed the flat tire, got a flat tire on the other side before I left town, got it changed, and I didn't have any more spares left. I got a mile and a half from Midway Airport and my tire went flat. I drove the rest of the way with the preacher in the car with a flat tire so that I could get him there before his plane took off. Got him there, had to call somebody with a wrecker to come get my car and take me back home. You know, you don't carry more than 2 spares usually. Fortunately, I was able to get one changed in and out that first time, or I'd have been stuck on the second flat. I stopped and changed a stupid flat tire on the way to the airport and got another one right before then. That was a bad day, man. Now, wait a minute. The devil didn't do that. Just being honest with you. Now, we think the devil did that. Don't give yourself so much spiritual upliftment, you proud, arrogant person. Now, I wanted to think, man, the devil's really attacking me. That's what I wanted to think. And then I realized, I'm not that spiritual. That's not the devil. He's got better tricks than a flat tire. He really does. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who's hindering your Christian life? Not what, who. Who is hindering you in your Christian life?